You're watching Sunday Morning Worship Service live from Hope City Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We'll have worship from Hope City Music, as well as a powerful message from God's Word. Now let's go live to the Hope City Church Sanctuary.
Ready to receive? All right. I want to start with a verse of scripture found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. And here's what it says. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." And again, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." And continuing the verse, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you again for the third time? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. We pray today, Father, that your words through the Holy Spirit would not just be words on a page, but it would illuminate into our spirit and into our soul, that we would be able to hear them and receive them into our heart and then walk them out as you will. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church say amen. So what's interesting about this verse of scripture is this is Joshua, who God is speaking to him, and he's a man who lived and led with a lot of respect and authority. He is the replacement, if you will, for Moses, who was in charge of leading the Israelites out. Now, Moses has died and Joshua is rising up to take his place. And he honored Moses and he was a great leader. But it's his time to lead God's people into victory. And so what we just read is God communicating, giving Joshua some instruction here. And what's interesting to note is that three times the Lord would say to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." Can everybody say, "Be strong and courageous"? Be strong and courageous. Now, I've taught you this before, but the Bible actually says within its pages, "Fear not," 365 times, one for every day, right? But anytime I find in scripture that he says, "Fear not," I always have to ask the question, why not? Which means there's typically something to fear, right? Like when the angel appeared to Mary and said, "Fear not," well, it was a pretty scary thing to have an angel suddenly appear to you out of nowhere. So whenever he would give the command, "Fear not," it's usually because there's something happening that would cause or spark fear in the heart of the believer. So God comes in and says, "Hey, don't worry about what's coming up next. What you need to know is fear not. There's giants in the land, but fear not." So it's interesting that as he's giving Joshua this commandment before they move and take the promised land, he's telling Joshua three times, "Be bold and courageous." So I would have to ask the same question, is what is waiting in the land that God would have to say to Joshua, "Hey," three times, just remember, "Be bold and courageous, be strong and courageous." Because as we know the story of the Israelites coming into the land, there were giants in the land. There were things there to fear. But so God says, "Be strong and courageous." Well, I believe that we live in a world today that is ruled by chaos. And really our world's been in chaos for a long time. And when the world begins to shake, often what we have depended on, the very things that we have kind of reached out for to build a foundation for ourselves, can often be shaken as well. And so God, in his wisdom, has placed you and I and entrusted us to bring his kingdom into this season of history. Now, I got to say that to you again. God has entrusted you to bring his kingdom in this season of history. You didn't know that you were anointed and chosen and appointed by God for this season of history. Come on, somebody. So we understand that there is something much greater at play in our world. Every time throughout history we see the world in chaos or the world in a shakedown, we will always see the same thing in the church, that much of the church rises. It calls something out in the church, a way that only persecution or trouble can release in us. Often when crisis hits the world, we see the church driven to unity. We see the church being strengthened on our knees in prayer. We see families coming back and praying together. We see intercessors and prophets being awakened to their God-given assignments. So the results of the world shaking often causes the church to be fueled by the Holy Spirit, to be strengthened in our callings, aligned with the word of God like never before, fine-tuned for the days ahead. That's why he says, I can make all things work together for the good of them that love me. That even when the world grows darker, come on, that's the season that the church grows stronger. As chaos erupts in our world, it's the season that God puts his hand on the church and says, now's the time to arise, to be strong and courageous and move forward in the strength that you have. Again, I just want to remind you, you are anointed for this. You are anointed for this. God didn't choose you to be born in 1820. But he said, no, I need you in the earth in 2025 because I have a call and I have an assignment and I have a destiny and I have a purpose and I have a plan for you and I have so much in store for you. I just need you to know this morning that you're not in the earth at this time by accident. Come on. God saw you and designed you and placed you here for a purpose. As I read through many moments throughout scripture of miracle stories, and we find stories of armies being overturned in a single night. We find stories in scripture where nations were saved, where individuals were healed, where giants were slain. But one word that just kind of keeps coming throughout all of these stories is the word courage. Why? Because courage is always required to take a leap forward. Come on. Courage is always required. If you want to see the plan of God fulfilled in your life, courage will be required. Whether it's like God telling Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. Or I was sharing with a worship team before first service today, I was encouraging them because I was thinking of, you know, in the Old Testament, before the troops would go into battle for God, they would always send the praisers. The tribe of Judah would go first and they would praise. And I was sharing with the worship team that it's almost like before the armies went out with their swords, it was like, let's send the praisers and see what happens to them. And then we will respond. And so I was sharing with the worship team, sometimes you just gotta be willing to take an arrow for the team, right? But these were a group of people who were bold and courageous in their worship, and they marched out and saw signs and wonders. Why? Because they were willing to go first. I think of Peter, and you know, I think of the miracle story of Peter. I think Peter's greatest moment was not Peter walking on the water. I think Peter's greatest moment was his courage to get back up and go again, even when he had failed Jesus. Come on. How many times have we counted ourselves out because of failures that have happened in our world? How many times have we said and counted ourselves out and said, God can't use me because of where I've been and how I've fallen and the circumstances that have happened in my life? But come on, God doesn't call people out. He calls people to get back up and go again. The church has never been great at helping people who've made mistakes get back up and go again. I think of people like Gideon, who felt so unqualified. Has anybody felt like Gideon in the room before? So unqualified. God calls Gideon while he's in hiding and says, Gideon, I want you to rise up and defeat an army that has 135,000 men in their troops. And he says, Gideon, I'm giving you an army of 32,000 to defeat the army of 135,000. And we would say, okay, those odds are bad. But they were too good. So God says, Gideon, actually, I'm gonna take your 32,000 and I'm gonna shrink it down to 300. And so he sends Gideon into a battle with 300 men to fight against 135,000 men. What was interesting is when Gideon said, all right, I'll go, I'll say yes, I'll give you my yes, when I had 32,000 troops. And God said, no, now you're gonna have 300. Guess what Gideon had to do again? Say yes again. See, sometimes we've said yes to God when things were going okay. We said yes to God when life was moving in our direction. But then problems happen and God removes some things and some people and some foundations that we stood on before suddenly get shaken. And now we say, oh, I don't know about this. I said yes when you promised me 32,000. I never committed to 300. So God says, come on, when everything begins to shake in our world, will we continually bring God our yes? Talk about courage. Let's move it a few thousand years closer. There's a group of people called the Moravians. The Moravians had what they called a 100-year prayer meeting. And out of those prayer meetings, they literally changed the world with missions. They would send missionaries all over the world out of those prayer meetings. But these people weren't just any missionaries. These missionaries would take their own coffins with them on the mission. They'd have a one-way ticket and they would put on the trains or planes, however they were getting there, their own coffins, because they knew that they were most likely going to be murdered for proclaiming the gospel. And they didn't want to have the people who killed them worry about what to do with the body, so they just brought their coffins with them. Talk about courage. Listen, it's easy to go on a mission for God when you have a return ticket in your pocket. Come on. But these guys had no return tickets and actually coffins because they were so sure that they would likely be martyred for their faith. And so I ask us today, do we have courage to stand in this hour? Do we have boldness to stand in this hour? Family, there will be times in our lives where something is asked of us by the Lord that will take us out of our comfort zone. And it will require courage to take that leap of faith. But godly courage that's fueled by the Holy Spirit will take us beyond our natural abilities. Yes, in yourself, you can't do it. But you're not operating in yourself. You're operating under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you gave him your yes. You might not be called today to be like the Moravians and go around the world preaching the gospel. Maybe you are. But he might be calling you today to serve your local community or be the voice of courage in your family because somebody has to stand up and say, Jesus is still the answer to this problem. Come on, it's not just about big things like the mission field. It's about walking in integrity on a Tuesday afternoon in your job, taking a stand for righteousness when the whole friend group wants to move in one direction and you gotta say, I love y'all, but I can't go where you're going because I'm a follower of Jesus and he doesn't allow me to go there. Come on. It takes courage to follow Jesus. It takes courage to answer the call. And the world and where we live needs Christ followers who are not afraid to embrace courage and stand up for the cause of Christ. You know, most of our lives, we try to avoid doing hard things, right? And the problem with escaping hard things is that we never extend ourselves to really know what we're capable of until you do hard things. How do you grow in hard things? You just do something you've never done before. I, you know, I remember when I learned to drive stick shift, it took me, you know, and I don't know if many people even drive stick shift anymore, but it took me like a day or two to get it. But I always laugh because when my mom learned to drive stick shift, she was a single mom. My dad left the picture and she was left with a car that was stick shift that she didn't know how to drive. And she put all the kids in the car. I don't think I was born yet. And said, we're gonna figure this out. And so it was just her in a parking lot until she got it, right? And I always laugh about that because sometimes you just don't know what you can do until you're forced to do something beyond your comfort zone, right? Like we live in an era of helicopter parents. And I'll be truthful, I think Sarah and I were pretty big on being helicopter parents at the first one, maybe a little bit the second one. But now when you have the fifth one on the way, it's like, well, you know, whatever is gonna happen is gonna happen and they're gonna have to work it out. I don't know what to do. And so it was funny, even last night, we sat down on the couch and in preparation for the new baby that's coming in a few weeks, we moved Judy and Loretta's bedrooms right beside each other. And we sat down on the couch and suddenly we begin to hear the screams. And I should have recorded it because I don't know that I can convey to you the magnitude of the assault that, I mean, if somebody was walking by our house, they would assume that there is an attack and a murder that's happening, and there's banging and slaps and screams. And it's all because Judy took Loretta's Barbie shoe and she wasn't having it. And, you know, I said to Sarah, should we go intervene? And she's like, they're working out. They got to figure out, you know. So, you know, the more kids you have, the less helicopter parent you become because people got to work it out. But, you know, I was thinking about that. And I thought, man, if we could have the boldness of my daughter, Loretta, like you took her Barbie shoe and she's not letting it go without a fight. She's coming to the table. You know, we're going to roll, right? And sometimes in our faith, it's like the enemy comes in and steals from us and we just say, well, I guess I lost it. No, we got to rise up with boldness and strength and courage and say, you're not having my family. If I got to scream at the altar, if I got to pray through the night, if I got to rumble with the devil, I'll do what I have to do, but I'm not backing down. Why? Because this is precious to me. So be strong and courageous in this hour. Come on. But when we retreat, we lose courage. We lose our courage. You know, whenever a national tragedy happens, it always shakes not only the world, but the church. You know, when 9/11 happened, the church was really shaken. And I think one of the reasons is because when we are comfortable, we have this false sense of safety, that everything's fine. I'm comfortable, everything's fine. And then suddenly something happens and it shakes that sense of comfort. You know, I think this is why when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, why it impacted not only the world, but the church like it did. Why? Because we thought, well, we're Americans and we're Christians and we've got it easy. And it reminded us that the same gospel that he was assassinated for declaring is the same gospel that we preach. And so suddenly it shakes us and reminds us, do you not know the hour in which you live, the day in which you stand, that no longer are the lines between the church and the world blurred. The Bible says that as the end draws closer, the church is going to grow brighter, but the world is going to grow more and more wicked. So what does it look like? You are going to look and live and act and be more different than the world than you have ever been before. But if you don't have strength and you're not strong and you don't have courage to stand when it means you lose something, when it means people reject you, you will fall in this hour. Comfort brings complacency. And when we become complacent, we lower our expectations. And now, instead of fighting to advance the kingdom of God, we simply fight to keep what we have. The fight that we're called to fight is not to keep what we have, but to advance the kingdom of God further. So that fight will always require us being uncomfortable. Courage means we have to be okay being uncomfortable. I shared this story in the first service, but Sarah wasn't here, my wife, who's up front, in case you don't know who she is. And I, you know, it's always easier to share a story because she's not here looking at me like, but these people in that service, man, they just tell her, like, before I even got to say hi to her, she was like, what did you say about me? Five people came and told and said, you're talking about me again. But I'll repeat it to make sure. But this week, and we're about 5 weeks out from our fifth kid arriving. And this week I walked into the bathroom and Sarah has tears coming down her face. And as many of you men in the room will know, you have that moment of, do I back out slowly? Do I ignore this? Did I do this? Did the kids do this? I'm not sure how to respond. I chose right and I said, hey, what's going on? And she's just crying and said, my body just hurts. Why? Well, because in a few weeks, she's gonna bring a baby into this world. And I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, in our spiritual walks with God, we are pregnant with destiny, with the call and the purpose of God on our lives. But it doesn't come on the back of convenience, right? Babies are born into the world on the back of uncomfortability, of pain, of crying, of tears, of husbands not knowing how to respond and what we should do in the moment. We do the best that we can. Come on, can I get a brother in the room to help me out this morning? We do the best that we can in the moment, but we don't know what to do. But if a woman will endure the pain and the hardship and the brutality that comes from bringing a life into this world, on the other side of it is new life and new hope and birth and destiny. And I'm just here to remind somebody that when it got dark and it got hard, God's word to you is have courage and be strong and stand your ground. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep pressing through, because in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So we can't lose our strength and our courage. We have to stand. We have to be strong. I found this scripture in Nahum 3:18, which reminds me a lot of where the church has been. And it says this, your shepherds slumber, your nobles rest in the dust. Your people are scattered on the mountains and no one gathers them. Your shepherds slumber, your nobles rest in the dust and your people are scattered in the mountains and no one gathers them. I think that's where the church has been, but I don't think that's where the church is staying. I think in this hour, the church is rising with the call of God on us like we've never known it before. Amen. Do you believe that? One of my Bible concordances, when I looked up courage, I liked what it had to say. It said, courage is to be strong, stout, alert, healthy, devoted, determined. I like this, to walk in royal power and to carry boldness. To have courage is to walk in royal power and to carry boldness. So as I was thinking about this word courage, I was reminded of a story in the Bible, and it's where Jesus says to his disciples that, hey, we want to get into the boat and we're going to cross over to the other side. And I think Jesus' words in the story was interesting because it wasn't a command, it was an invitation. He didn't say, go to the other side. He said, let us cross over. Like, you don't have to do this, which I think was interesting because it reminded me of Esther when Mordecai came to her and said, listen, you don't have to put your life at risk. If you don't worry, God will raise up a deliverer, but you will not be spared. It's almost like when Jesus said, come on, let us. It's like an invitation. You can participate if you want, or you can sit back and have an easy, convenient life, and God will raise up a deliverer for his people, but you and your house will suffer the consequences from it. So him and the disciples get in the boat, but they had just come from preaching to a multitude of people. And now Jesus says, come on, we got to separate from the multitude. And I thought that was interesting because faith often requires leaving the crowd to step into deeper waters of obedience. I don't know if you know this, but following Jesus requires that you will not be able to follow the crowd. Crowds are always fickle. Listen, think about Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem. And the crowds were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, Son of God. Only to be followed up with those same crowds of people cry, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, the known murderer, and crucify Jesus. Crowds? Come on, you can't follow crowds. You can't follow culture. When you have determined and made up in your heart, I am going to be a Jesus follower. I like in the early church, they didn't call themselves Christians. You know what they called themselves? Followers of the way. I like that. I'm a follower of the way. I tried to say that to somebody recently and they thought I was in some kind of an occult or something. And I said, no, I'm just a Christian. I was just trying out the terminology to switch it up a little bit. Never mind. But I like that. I'm a follower of the way. Well, what's the way? Jesus is the way. Come on, if you're gonna be a follower of the way, you can't follow every way. You have to follow his way. And you can't follow Jesus and cling to the comfort of the crowd. So they get in the boat with Jesus and they're facing this storm. And they think they're gonna die. And I think that was interesting because listen, it shows us this. Obedience doesn't exempt us from adversity. We often think following Jesus equals a life of convenience and ease. But how many of you know that's not true? Obedience doesn't exempt us from adversity. The storm wasn't punishment, but preparation for greater ministry on the other side. Why? Because they learned to trust Jesus. How did they learn to trust him? Well, because when the storm started raging, Jesus was asleep at the bottom of the boat. And they were panicking in fear. And they woke Jesus up and he silenced the storm. But he said, oh, you of little faith. What was he saying? I'm with you. You're panicking for no reason. What he was teaching them is have faith. Don't be moved by the storm or circumstances. So Jesus calms the storm. They get over to the other side and they encounter a man who has 2,000 demons, a legion of demons. You talk about having a bad day. This man had 2,000 demons possessing his body. That's what scripture says to us. Jesus encounters this man and casts the demons out of him. The Bible says the demons left the man and went into pigs, into swine, and jumped off the cliff. Can somebody say an overflow of bacon, right? Come on. And what seemed like an inconvenience to them, they were with the crowd and Jesus says, well, let's get in the boat. And now they come through a storm and now they're over here and they're coming to get finding this demon possessed man. What was a detour suddenly was a divine appointment. Why? A man's destiny depended on their crossing the river. See, many people would stop there. Say, well, we did it. We followed Jesus. We left the crowds, we survived the storm, we saw a miracle, check in, done, I'm out of here. But Mark 5:21 says this, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side. See what Jesus said? After all of that, he says, get back in the boat and let's go do it again. Again. You want me to do all this again? Why? Because every victory is a setup for the next level of obedience. Some of us, and I wish you, as a pastor, I get to hear people's stories, and I know many people's story in this room, and you may not, but you are sitting beside giant killers. You're sitting in a room with people who have survived the storm, who have seen victories, who have watched God do the miraculous in their life. But you know why they stay? Is because they didn't settle at one level of glory. They keep pressing into another level of glory. They know there's more. They hear the call of Jesus that says, get back in the boat. We're doing this again. Come on, some of you might have counted yourself out because you've said you've been too young, or now you feel like you're too old for God to ever use you. Come on, as long as there's breath in your lungs, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Get back in the boat and go again. Why? Because every time you cross the sea, there's another soul waiting. There's another victory waiting. There's another turnaround waiting. There's another miracle waiting. So Jesus doesn't let us settle. He stretches us through storms into greater strength. So let's go to the other side. Come on, somebody has the other side waiting today, which takes continual courage. Remember, be strong and courageous. I believe today that we all have other sides in our life. Other sides. Maybe that other side for you is a relationship that needs healing. You might say, I'm comfortable where I am. I don't want to face that. I don't want to look at that situation. And God's saying, get back in the boat. We're going to the other side. For some, it might be a ministry that God called you to start. For others, it could be the anxiety or fear that you've been facing or not wanting to face or confront. Just let me pretend like it doesn't exist. Let it just be there. And God's saying, come on, get back in the boat. Get back in the boat of faith. We're going to address this thing head on and see it defeated in Jesus' name. Why? Because there's always somebody on the other side of your obedience who needs your courage. They need your story. They need to see someone else step out in faith. Why? Because faith is courageous. Last scripture today, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says this, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. What do we need? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Do you see, courage and faith are linked. You can't have one without the other. Faith is an action word. It requires movement. It requires doing something. And Jesus said, without works, your faith is dead. If we don't have action to it. And we need faith that endures. Faith that endures. Listen, the older I get, the more I come to realize, and you go through different seasons. And I remember when I was in my early 20s driving, and I saw a bunch of high school kids out waiting for the bus. And for the first time in my life, I remember it hit me, I'm older than them. Because in your mind, don't you always still feel young? Right? And it was the first time I could see, like, just visually, their faces looked younger than me. And I'm like, there's a difference. Like, when did that happen? Like, I just graduated a few years ago and now, right? And then suddenly you're in your 40s and you're like, wait a minute. When is all of this happening? And you just don't relate to that. But as I've been kind of processing that now that I'm in my 40s, it's just, I think back to when I was in my 20s and when I was a youth and those people who shepherded me and mentored me and those pastors and those leaders who cheered me on and those mothers and fathers who didn't let me. I remember spiritual mamas coming to me when I was, you know, going through a season or doing something I shouldn't be doing and sitting me down and saying, what are you doing? As the way only a spiritual mama can do, right? Like they could just call you. And there was that peace. And I think to myself, listen, we are that generation now. And here's the greatest revelation that we can get. There's no backup generation waiting. We are the ones called for this time. God has positioned you here now. In this moment, and if we're going to be all that God has called us to be, courage isn't optional. It's essential to partner with the will of God. So I believe God is calling the church to rise in this hour, to be strong and courageous, to be bold, to not back down, to, in doing all, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. To when we want to quit and settle, we hear the call of Jesus say to us, get back up, get back in the boat, and let's go again. Let's go again. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I believe that there's a go again over your life. I believe there's another side waiting, another story waiting, another victory to be had. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would be amiss if I let you leave this room and didn't give you this opportunity today. Maybe you're listening to me and you said, Pastor, I've heard about this Jesus stuff, but I thought it was just church. I thought this whole thing was just about coming to church and trying to be good. But Jesus didn't die to start a church. He died so that he could have personal relationship with every single one of us. And if you're in the room today and you say, Pastor, I do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I can lead you into a prayer. And at the end of that prayer, you will be as sure for heaven as if you're already there. But it takes boldness and courage. It takes boldness and courage to surrender your life. And if that's you and you're in the room with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm gonna count to three. And when I count to three, I want you just to slip up your hand. I'm not gonna do anything to embarrass you. I just wanna see that you're praying this prayer with me today. If that's you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Ready? One, two, three. I see you. I see you. You can go ahead and put your hands down. We're gonna pray this prayer together. But if you're praying this prayer for the first time, I want you to pray it with all of your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I stand before you now. And I see that I'm a sinner and I need a savior. And I ask you now to forgive me of my sins, wash me in your blood, and make me righteous. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And I ask him now to be my Lord and he'll be my God. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for every person who prayed that prayer. Come on, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, you can scan the QR code and hit the Know God tab or stop by Connections and get a salvation box, just some material to help you get started on this journey of faith. Now that we're all believers in the room this morning, I want to pray a prayer over you because you have another side that's waiting, another victory, and it's going to require you stepping up and being bold. And I want to pray for you today that you have that boldness and that strength, that you would not draw back in this hour, but this hour will be your greatest hour, like nothing you've ever seen or heard. So Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that for every person who's in the room or watching online today, that areas where they have drawn back, areas that maybe they've settled or gotten comfortable or complacent and just said, I'm fine here, that today, Lord, you would give us the boldness and the strength to get back in the boat, to go again, to reach the other side because there's more waiting. Areas of where maybe we've counted ourselves out and we thought we were unworthy or unqualified and you couldn't use us. Would you give us the courage to push past the negative talk, push past the doubt and unbelief, and just completely surrender to you? Because a surrendered person in your hand can do anything. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So we yield ourselves to you today. Fully surrendered in Jesus' mighty name. Let the church say amen and amen. Were you blessed today? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you so much for worshiping with us.